changes.
Call to order this regular assembly meeting of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, on Tuesday, September 26, 2017, at 7 p.m. The Pledge of Allegiance this evening will be led by Assemblymember Patty Gilbert, and if you remain standing for the invocation to be given by Mr. Don McConney.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, we have come together tonight to make plans for our city and borough of Wrangell. We ask you, Lord, to watch over our leaders as they consider the direction of those plans. Keep them ever mindful of our future and the well-being of all people that reside here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
For the ceremonial matters this evening, we have a presentation by Brian Lynch regarding item 13A, the BC Transboundary Mining Issue. If you go ahead and take the floor. If we get a new one. You can have the roof of the manager's office.
Well, not without a new one.
Yes.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Assembly members. My name is Brian Lynch. I'm here representing City of Beyond Borders. I'll just give you a little bit of my background. I'm retired biologist at the Department of Fish and Game. That was the spent 30 years in Petersburg. I ran a project up the Stikine River prior to the that was in association with the proposed dams, run-of-river dams that BC Hydro was planning here in the early 80s, mid-80s. The last 20 years of my career, I was a commercial fisheries management biologist. I was the assistant area management biologist for Petersburg Wrangell, and Randy Timothy was my counterpart at the time, worked with Randy for 20 years. Probably remember Randy. And the last 9 years, I was a Southeast Regional Troll Fisheries Management Biologist. After I retired, I also spent 2 years as the executive director of the Petersburg Vessel Owners Association. I also spent about a month up in the Bering Sea working on some salmon extruder devices on poly trawl vessels, and here just recently spent a month on a salmon seine tender. So just want to give you, kind of where I'm coming from on this issue, how important this is to particularly not only the commercial fishing industry, the seafood industry, but also culturally, subsistence, and recreational concerns. You have before you proposed resolution number 9-17-1378. This resolution is basically an update of resolution 01-16-1337 that you passed in January 2016. It's kind of the same, only different. Since that time, we have a new federal administration, the Red Chris and Bruce Jett, Red Chris Mine on the Stikine, and Bruce Jett Mine on the tributaries of the Unic River have been approved and are basically in full production. And we have the BC Auditor General's report of May 2016, and which is part of the resolution, and the Statement of Cooperation protection of the transboundary waters. Just touch on a couple things here. Something new in here had to do with the BC Auditor General's report of May 2016, and this is recital number 8. Just kind of get some quotes out of that from that report. And she said, "We found almost every one of our expectations for a robust compliance and enforcement program within the Ministry of Energy and Mines and the Ministry of Environment were not met. We found major gaps in resource planning and tools. As a result, monitoring and inspections of mines were inadequate to ensure mine operators complied with requirements. The ministries have not publicly disclosed limitations with their compliance and enforcement programs, increasing environmental risks and government's ability to protect the environment. The Ministry of Energy and Mines and the Ministry of environment compliance and enforcement activities of the mining sector are inadequate to protect the province from significant environmental risks. If they can't protect the province from environmental risks, they're certainly not going to protect us from environmental risks. And I want to make one thing very clear. While this is an environmental issue, it is very definitely an economic issue. We have any sort of problems on these rivers, it can and will affect not only Petersburg and Wrangell and Southeast Alaska communities, will affect salmon fisheries, will also affect the crab fisheries, but it has a potential to also affect fisheries across the Gulf and even into the Bering Sea. So this is a very serious economic concern. The Ministry of Energy and Mines is not holding an adequate amount of security to cover the estimated environmental liabilities of major mines. The Auditor General actually came up and said that they're actually short about $2.1 billion. Now, this is money just for closing the mines. This has nothing to do with any kind of environmental disaster. The Mount Holly mine that you were, I think, somewhat familiar with, the mine tailings breach there in August of 2014, that money that they have, there was no money set aside for reclamation of that, for cleaning that stuff up. This shortfall is strictly just for closing mines, $2.1 billion. Since the time of your last resolution, we have the Statement of Cooperation on Protection of Transboundary Waters that was signed into effect in October 2016 between the state of Alaska, the Lieutenant Governor, and his counterpart in BC. The SOC was a good step forward, but cannot provide for enforceable regulations or financial assurances in case of contamination or mining disaster. Only the federal government has that authority, and under the Boundary Waters Treaty, a state cannot go into a treaty with a foreign nation. It's unconstitutional under Article 2 of the U.S. Constitution. So you have to have the federal government involved to set up any sort of enforceable regulations or financial assurances to cover any harm that might come to Wrangell, Petersburg, fishermen, any entity that depends on these rivers. While SLC was a good step forward, it really doesn't do what needs to be done. And thus far, it's really done nothing towards, one example, eliminating and cleaning up the acid mine drainage into the Tulsaqua River from the Tulsaqua Chief Mine that has been leaking acid mine drainage for the last 6 decades. So it really hasn't been anything there. Another difference that this resolution is from your prior resolution, your previous resolution, it does not really focus on the International Joint Commission, but rather is seeking federal engagement in this issue so that we can, as I mentioned, set up enforceable regulations and financial assurances. We still support an IJC referral for this development. The IJC is, I hate to say, just a tool. It is a very significant tool. But first, we need to have the federal government to engage in this issue. There have been resolutions now passed by Ketchikan, Sitka, Petersburg has sent a couple, three different resolutions on this. We're also going to be presenting this to Petersburg next week. There's also, I believe you also received a letter, proposed draft letter from the mayor to the governor and lieutenant governor to get them for requesting that they request an explicit that they ask explicitly that the federal government become involved with this issue. Now, it's your letter. You have a full agenda, and you may not want to take this up tonight, and it may not be even vital when you do so. But if possible, if you don't, it would be nice to be able to sit down with you, the manager, and the clerk to discuss this letter and what we're looking at. Anyway, that pretty well covers that. You may have also heard that there an issue with getting a resolution in Juneau. There's been some radio spots on that they took that to a committee of the whole. It did not pass a a resolution. And there was some information that was put forward, unfortunately, by the Alaska Mining entities that the Boundary Waters Treaty does not apply to these transboundary rivers. That information is blatantly false. It does cover these transboundary rivers. It's kind of like if you read the first article, it's kind of in a lot of legalese, but like a lot of legal documents, if you eliminate a couple of dependent clauses, you can kind of finally find the meat of the issue. And also, Article 4 of the Boundary Waters Treaty does explicitly state these rivers are covered in there. Anyway, that just about covers it. I did want to mention one more thing: that House Joint Resolution 9 was brought up in the legislature this year by Representative Cortez. It wasn't passed or wasn't fully dealt with in this session. It will be brought up again in the next session. So there may be some information coming to you later on about this. You know, trying to maybe garner your support for this for that resolution, but that would be sometime maybe even in your next meeting. I want to thank you. And in conclusion, there's a reception at the Stikine Inn tomorrow evening from 6 to 8 p.m. and we will be presenting some more information on this issue at that time. So anyway, that's all I have. And if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to at least attempt to answer them.
Well, thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
We did discuss meeting tomorrow to go over the details of the letter that was passed out and maybe massaging that a little bit and bringing it back for the assembly for consideration at the next meeting, since it's too much to do at this meeting.
I think that'd be the best plan, since it isn't on the agenda and not really noticed to the public. I think putting it to the next agenda would be proper.
That's what we'll do then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call.
Assemblymembers Gilbert?
Here.
Persunka? Rooney?
Here.
Decker? Powell?
Here.
Mitchell? And Mayor Jack?
Here. Amendments to the agenda. Anyone have any amendment? Conflict of interest. Does anyone have a conflict of interest? Consent agenda.
I move to approve those agenda items listed under the consent agenda and those marked with an asterisk. Item 6A and 7A.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion? Roll call, please.
Assembly members Powell?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Rooney?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Borough manager's report.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just to briefly go over some updates to this, as you were aware, Assemblymember Decker and I attended Southeast Conference in Haines last week, and the city clerk passed out a copy of the agenda here just so you have an idea of the topics that were discussed, and if any of you would like more information on any of these issues, I'd be certainly happy to go over any of them with you. It was a good conference, and it was very helpful for me to meet a number of people in the region whom I didn't know. It was also very fun to run into a lot of people that I actually did know from previous work and lives around the state and reconnect with them. So I was happy to be able to attend the conference. The work session on the hospital issues the joint work session with the hospital board has been scheduled for November 6th, and I just wanted to make sure that was announced for the public. That's in your report here tonight as well. As it says in your report also, Assemblymember Decker and I met with the Department of Corrections Commissioner Williams while we were at Southeast Conference to go over that, what I'm calling that play-to-pay menu of options that the borough can take advantage of to increase the jail contract. And some of the concerns that our police chief outlined specifically were, what if we get into this and it's more work than we anticipated and it's requiring us to have more staff, or we have to send people out for more training, or it gets beyond what we can handle. And we were assured by the Department of Corrections, both the commissioner and the director of pretrial services, that this is an ongoing dialogue between the Department of Corrections and the different communities that are interested in doing this. They have no interest in overloading. What they are looking at doing is trying to figure out a way to mitigate people having to be put in jail. They are looking to try to do corrective action outside of that, and they want to be able to work with municipalities to be able to take that on. And they are going to be coming into town to do training. And if there is something that the Assembly agrees to do and then finds out we don't have the capacity to, then they will rework that with us. They'll change the contract such that it's not a part of what we have to do anymore, or they will help provide additional resources.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt, but is this the result of SB 91 or the new concept of no incarceration for certain crimes? Or I thought this predated that. This contract.
It predates SB 91, but not, what is it, SB 54, which was sweeping changes to crimes not incarcerating people. And I will provide a full summary at the next meeting for the Assembly so that you understand, even though people, if they violate parole and other things like that, it's not an incarcerable offense, they don't necessarily go back to jail. There still are consequences. So I will put all of that in writing for you. I will outline the issues that the police chief relayed to me, that I relayed to the commissioner, and the responses that they gave, and then we will have, the Department of Corrections is actually working on an updated contract to get to us so that we can put that in front of you for consideration.
And then my other question was, is the TSA contract for coverage at the airport totally gone?
That is done as of October 1, as I understand it.
And there's no hope of negotiating that?
That's my understanding. Now, that is through a different department. The airport contract is through the Department of Transportation,
right,
not the Department of Corrections. So as I understand it, we are done as of October 1, but I can get you an update on that.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Let me just make a note before I move on with my report. At the last meeting, the Assembly approved a letter to the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation asking for process and timelines related to the treated soil issue and the relocation of that. And I have not received a formal letter response, but what I did get was an email from John Halverson at the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation saying, thank you very much for your letter. We have received it. We ourselves are trying to figure out what those processes and timelines might be. As soon as we have those discussions done, we will get a response to you. So they have not worked those details out in their mind yet. In addition to that, in the last packet, there was a copy of the letter that I wrote to the U.S. Forest Service in response to the Wrangell Island Project draft record of decision, basically our objection to that record of decision, and that it wasn't enough board feet in order to be able to develop any sort of long-term investment by industry here in the community or in the region. And I have been I've been given an invitation to meet with Earl Stewart, the forest supervisor, next week on October 4th to talk about that letter of objection. What else do I have on here? I wanted to, as a follow-up to Amber, the Public Works Director's report, as you were aware, we had significant issues with the public safety building. We brought Jensen Yorba-Lott in to do a building envelope assessment, and they finished that, and hot off the presses, actually, this late today, they provided their initial report, and there are 5 repair recommendations that they have. And if you would like me to read those, Mayor and Assembly, I certainly can. Or would you? We can report on them at the next meeting if you'd like. I just want you to know that report is in, and there are some considerable issues that need to be dealt with. Some of them life safety issues that need to happen as soon as possible. So,
can you summarize the 5?
I can just briefly. There is a north wall concealed gutter assembly that is failing and is completely structurally unstable, and that's a life safety issue that needs to be taken care of as soon as possible. We need to reconfigure the